This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the Human-Animal Connection podcast. I'm so excited to speak with Carol Komotar, and she is the creator of Healing Touch for Animals, which uses energy medicine to rebalance all kinds of things, physical issues, emotional issues, behavioral issues. And so I'm just so excited to learn all about your method. So welcome, Carol.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah. And now I know you started this program in 1996 and you've worked with over 15,000 people. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot, isn't it? Yeah. It really is. With myself and my instructors in my program. Yeah.
Okay. Great. 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 So most of our listeners are familiar when we say the words energy healing, they understand. But for some who are new to it, how do you explain energy healing?
I talk about our intentionality through our compassionate hearts and how we intend to draw energy that's all around us through our own bodies and then into our hands and offer it to whomever we're working with. So whether it's an animal or whether it's a person. So it's very simple because it's our big hearts, right, that work, make it work.
Right. In some ways, this is the oldest medicine in the world, right?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And so you mentioned touch, but do you also do energy healing without touch?
Yes, sure.
Near touch, as you call it.
Yeah. Right. We do distance work, but we also sometimes need to work off the body or project the energy to an animal because they can't be touched. Right. So whether they're in quarantine or whether they're afraid, we make an invitation. I call it an invitation when we have energy offered to someone and they're in that apprehensive state, like many animals are.
Yes.
We just bring it into an invitation piece, and usually they're in your lap within a few minutes.
Aww.
So, or standing next to you if you have a big old horse, right?
Right, exactly. That's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful. And I know that you teach people this. How long does it take people to learn?
Actually, not very long at all. We have by level one in the class with the different techniques and how we teach them how to facilitate the energy, they're ready to go from the Friday class to actually doing hands-on work with the animals Saturday and Sunday in our courses. So it's not a difficult application. It comes with practice, of course. Your efficiency comes in and your confidence level because you're practicing. But it's not hard to learn. And anybody that has a desire to help someone can learn to do this work.
That's excellent. Now, I know as a child, you felt that you could read energy. And how did you discover that this could work with animals?
Well, I had a veterinary technician job after a year of college. And I loved it so much that I worked with a veterinarian in the Denver area that I was kind of like his nurse practitioner. Yeah, we had a satellite clinic that fed into a large hospital with all the most efficient and most modern equipment. And I would travel back and forth with the clinic to the hospital and work specifically with his patients in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So I had this innate ability to handle the animals that were difficult. And what I know now, it was an energetic presence.
Yeah.
I didn't know that then. I didn't know what a energy center was or a chakra was at that time.
Yeah.
And yet I knew that I could see things, and I didn't know that not everybody could see. So I never talked about it because I just assumed, I guess, that in my naivety that everybody saw, which they do. They just kind of shut it down as they get older. Mm-hmm. And so I used that ability when I was a vet tech. And then after my children were born, I got involved with massage therapy and healing touch, and actually worked with the founder of the Healing Touch program, mm-hmm. Janet Menken. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of years, I realized that my colleagues did not understand the energetic perspective of animals.
Yes.
And so I thought I needed to teach them uh-huh. the differences, because they are different yes. energetically.
Yeah.
So I thought I would be teaching a class in the Denver area once or twice a year for my colleagues.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be an international program.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's like so much fun. And I still have fun with the level one courses all the way to our advanced proficiency two mm-hmm. class. Yeah.
Well, can you tell us a story when the first time you said, "Oh my God, this works"?
Oh, well, it's probably in my healing touch training because I recognized, you know, with my human clients, I started out with cancer patients. Like, very first patient was a cancer patient, and that tended to be my kind of venue for my clientele. For a really long time. And then when I began the work with the animals, I also got cancer patients through the animal kingdom. Mm-hmm. So when did I first see that this works? It was probably with that very first cancer patient, because mm-hmm. the anxiety was tremendous. The whole part of how they were in what was going on with was calmed and, you know, grounded to where they could make even keel decisions. Mm-hmm. And she actually was a cancer survivor and had a reoccurrence. Mm-hmm. And so I saw her through two and a possible third diagnosis. And the third one actually was a benign situation. But yeah. And yeah. So I've seen that with the animals too.
Right.
You know, major accidents, major illnesses that have been changed, and if not cured, and I don't want to say that word because we don't claim cure, but people and animals do shift into a place of absolute healing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to be a part of that is a blessing to me. Mm-hmm. I feel honored, and so whoever I'm working with. Yeah. And even the death process is a gift, I feel.
Mm. That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about that too, but I just have to ask you. Yeah. I noticed on your website, you gave a kind of a cycle of healing, and you begin with the relaxation response. So tell us with the animals, obviously they don't know that they have cancer, or not know the way the humans know. They may have right. been given a medical diagnosis or something,
yeah.
but they walk us through that cycle, what starting with relaxation and what it does for the animals and how it works
sure.
for all levels. Yeah.
Yeah. I can show you the little chart I have. It's right here in my desk.
Okay.
So it's this. Uh-huh. And so here it shows this starts with relaxation, like you said, and then it goes into just the different aspects of how our body works. So the endorphins with relaxation, the endorphins and dopamines are intensified. And so what those do is it tells the body to relax. Mm-hmm. And so that relaxation response also helps the muscles to let go. And instead of being ischemic and all tight and knotted up, mm-hmm. they can relax and let more circulation come into those muscle tissues. And with that circulation, then the blood flow brings in oxygen, nutrients, hormone balance, all of the things, enzymes to help with digestion, helps to flush out the toxicity, helps to promote new healthy cell growth. And what it really does in the center of this little chart is it regulates the immune system, and that's what causes all healing.
Yes.
And allows that to come in. And so I love that chart. It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, with each one of these little bullets around this chart, there's like a gazillion different explanations of how that particular one works. Mm-hmm. But this is the simplicity of it. And it's how we work when we're relaxed. And when we're facilitating the energy in our work, the energy is intentful. It's clear. We're focused on whomever we're working on, and change is made. Mm-hmm. So balance, giving quality of life for however time an animal or a person has. Yes. So if it's at the end of life, then it's still quality of life for them. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And have you found that animals are particularly good at receiving healing?
Oh, my gosh, yes. So much easier than people.
Because you don't
so
have
much easier, less
bypass
resistance.
The future tense. So what would happen if, and you know, they're just receiving. Yeah.
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 Yeah. They're just, they love it because, well, first of all, they are energy. That's mm-hmm. what their instinctual presence is. Mm-hmm. And in my visual part, I see their energy field, and it's actually a whole lot bigger than ours. Mm-hmm. A whole lot. It's like 10 times bigger than our energy field. So even a small little chihuahua is, if we weighed the 5 to 8 pounds that chihuahua weighs, mm-hmm. we would be tiny in comparison energetically, whereas they are 10 times bigger. And so the bigger the animal, the larger the energy field is, mm-hmm. the more wild the animal is, that they have to encompass a whole lot bigger area to make sure that they are safe.
Yes.
And so it's like the whole energy piece of it is instinct. The animals know energy. Mm-hmm. So when we start to facilitate that for them to create balance and clearing in their own energy field, they get it mm-hmm. a whole lot easier than the humans do.
Yes, yes. Well, let's talk a little bit, because I know I've done thousands of hours volunteering in the shelters with traumatized animals, and I have methods that I work with, but I'd love to hear about how you work with trauma in animals, how you see it, and how you work with it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about first how I see it, because it does, trauma does change the energy system just like it does in humans. Mm-hmm. What I see is that oftentimes when there's trauma, the animal's energy field is not 10 times bigger, but it's a lot larger than that. Hmm. And the reason, and we would think that it'd be the opposite, right? Trauma, so they pull themselves in.
Right.
That's not always the case. And most of the time, it's not the case. What happens is that they expand their energy field. The animals, unlike us, have little radar receptors at the edge of their energy field. So that big bubble that they hold. Mm-hmm. Have those radar receptors out, and they're constantly looking for more danger.
Mm-hmm.
And so they continue to expand, and they continue to expand. And what that does is it actually causes leakage within their energy system.
Mm-hmm.
And so the energy then cannot contain itself in this natural bubble we're supposed to have,
mm-hmm.
and they're supposed to have. And so they leak energy, and they don't have the sustainability. And so it puts them further into that trauma.
Hmm.
So the first thing we have to do is repair the energy system, repair the energy before we release any kind of trauma.
Okay. So you work from the outside in a sense. You're working.
Well, that's how they work. So you work the way they do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're working on that energy field. You're repairing the energy field so they're not leaking. And then what's next?
Well, then there's several trauma release techniques we have within our program. So there's three specifically. One clears the field in a general manner. Another is actual trauma release, where we work with the vision of the animal and going inside in their deep into the soul essence of who they are, mm-hmm. and releasing it from there. And then the other one is a PTSD kind of trauma technique, mm-hmm. Where we work with the amygdala and help to support the animal that way.
Yeah. So the amygdala being the emotional center of the brain. Where
right.
The emotion, yeah.
Right. And that's what gets frozen in trauma.
Right.
So, and that's why PTSD shows up in both humans and animals, is that it freezes us.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It puts us on hold.
Yeah.
The freeze response.
Exactly.
Yeah, it gets stuck in the freeze response. Yes. Well, we're going to take a very short break, but when we come back, maybe you could kind of walk us through a story of an animal that had trauma and how you saw that, what you did, what the outcome was. So when we come back, we'll hear that story.
Hey, friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Well, welcome back to the Human Animal Connection podcast. I'm speaking with Carol Kombatar, and she is the creator of Healing Touch for Animals. And she's is about to tell us a story about identifying trauma in an animal that obviously can't tell us in words, but we see it, we know it. Tell us how you see it, and tell us how you began the healing.
Okay. Well, in trauma, what I see is a couple of different things. There's obvious stuff that everyone sees as hiding is one thing, where or cowering, the fear biter, those kinds of things that we find, or the isolation that sometimes happens in a herd of horses, that the trauma affects their whole psyche, of course, just like us. Mm-hmm. But with animals, their field, like I said earlier, usually is super expanded, and it creates a leakage like a sieve or a colander, and it leaks out the water in mm-hmm. the colander. Mm-hmm. Well, their energy field actually leaks as well. And they're not a layered energy system like we are. They have little tiny dots that represent all the aspects of who we are. So the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. For them, it's instinctual, not spiritual, because they don't practice spirituality. Mm-hmm. But it's that natural ability for them to understand their surroundings. So heightened awareness, right?
Yes.
So that's all dampened. Mm-hmm. And as they expand their field, like I said earlier, to warrant their safety, mm-hmm. it stretches things out to where it's like a balloon that was left behind after a birthday party, and mm-hmm. you find it 2 or 3 days later, and it's really pliable. Mm-hmm. It has, you know, you don't have the big, big balloon any longer. It's really small and you get squishy. Mm-hmm. And that's how their field is, because there's not enough consistency around their energy field to hold their sustainability.
Okay.
So to hold the volume of energy flowing through.
Yes, so they're like leaking vitality also, right?
Exactly, so,
yeah,
right.
On a physical level, emotional level, mental level, et cetera, yeah.
Everything, yeah.
Right, okay.
And so even if it's not a physical issue, it can become that, because they're not supported on the other aspects of who they are. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's how I see trauma. And sometimes it's way expanded. Sometimes it's super constricted, mm-hmm. especially if there is abuse at hand. Mm-hmm. If it's other things like abandonment, or sometimes with abuse, but it's more about how we can contain them in their bubble mm-hmm. of their little bitty pixels that are everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see their field in comparison to ours. And oftentimes the animals will, in trauma, will have such a jaded outside edge mm-hmm. that has to be repaired and contained first.
Yes.
So we always start with, to start with the therapy part of it, we start with balance first. And mm-hmm. rather than trying to get rid of the trauma before they become balanced, mm-hmm. they have to be balanced. They have to be grounded. Mm-hmm. They have to be safe within their skin in order to totally release the trauma. And
right.
that's easily done with the facilitation of our energy. So by creating that foundational piece of safety, of I'm okay, of that relaxation response that we talked about earlier,
right,
that is the foundation for the healing to take place. The immune system takes over. They are calmer all the way around. And it's like, okay, I don't have to hold on to this any longer. Mm-hmm. I don't have to hold on to the trauma. And because they are instinctual, because they understand energy, the animals let go of their trauma so much easier than we do.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I know, like, I've worked with over 4,000 service members with therapy dogs. Yeah. And just one of the things we talk about is the sense of safety. I call it vitamin S, you know, because it's all missing.
That's a great term.
Yeah, yeah. It's missing in anybody who's experienced significant trauma. And some of the psychological methods attempt to address trauma without addressing safety. And then, of course, it's not effective because you have to have a foundation.
Yeah, you don't get to the root cause, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah.
So can you tell us maybe a specific story about an animal that had no safety and how you helped to repair that?
It was a client not too long ago who had a dog that they had adopted and it wasn't fitting into the family and they loved this dog. And individually, he would connect to one or two of the people in the family and then otherwise not. Mm-hmm. And so just bringing this animal into a place of safety through grounding and through repair of that energy field from the traumatic situation. They knew he was traumatized. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how.
Yeah.
And so, you know, accepting this animal in that unconditional space for them, excuse me. Mm-hmm. That the animal was able to, by balancing their energy system, by getting him into a place where he was present, instead of searching way out here beyond that 10 times greater.
Right.
It was very humbling to me to have him want this so badly. And he actually helped to repair his own body very quickly.
Wow.
And then we went into the trauma work. And with the trauma work, it was easily done. And that's not always the case. So mm-hmm. I don't want to make it sound like it's all hearts and flowers because it's not always. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, the dog was ready to make changes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's intuitive things that come through, like in abandonment issues, perhaps, and I saw a street dog prior to there. And so those things kind of come in. Whether they're true or not, it doesn't matter because mm-hmm. It's about what's happening right now.
Right.
And
right.
So that dog did a great release. He there's actually signs that we see with release when we're doing the work,
like, and
the specific techniques.
Uh-huh.
So deep breaths is what one of the techniques. That's what we ask for. Let's let go of this with the biggest breath you can imagine, and mm-hmm. they'll get to a point where it's like they're a little nervous and a little nervous and a little nervous, mm-hmm. and then they hold their breath and mm-hmm. then they just let it go, like how you take a deep breath after a big cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that down to the core kind of breath out.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And so with this particular dog, he was ready and he was supported by his new family. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, they reported a few days later that there were total changes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the aggressive behavior was gone. The A-okay, I'm sitting here in the family room with the rest of the family and things like that.
That's wonderful. That's a beautiful, beautiful story. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just worked with a horse yesterday, and after I worked with him, he had these six huge yawns, like just stretching his whole neck and all his teeth showing. And it was really fun to watch that release process. Yeah.
I know that's one of the bigger signs, right, is the yawning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was in Minneapolis teaching a level one course actually a couple weeks ago, And one of the horses there, just with our balancing techniques, went into yawn fest. Oh. And I think the last one they counted was 12 or 13.
Wow.
Big yawns. And it wasn't trauma. It was just relaxation.
Right. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. So what are some tips that you could give people who share their lives with animals that they could, you know, even before they take your training, what could they begin to do to make things better?
Talk to them like they were your child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, tell them what's going on, because we know that as parents that for those of us who are parents, we know that the more they understand, the easier it is for them. The less acting out there might be. Mm. And so, you know, I'm going to be gone today. I'm going to go to work. I'll see you after work. I'm going to be gone for 2.5 weeks. You're going to be taken care of by so-and-so. And so you let them know what's going on. You must go to the veterinarian because there's something that needs to be checked out. Mm-hmm. Or this is your annual trip. Mm-hmm. You know, so whatever that might be, let them know. And what I feel is that the vibration from our voices,
yes,
gives them whatever they need. Their people say pictures. Mm-hmm. I just see the energy piece changing.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. So talk to them and know, let them know that you love them.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a friend who. Her dogs wait at the front door as she's backing out of, or not front door, the front window, mm-hmm. as she's backing out of the driveway, and she waves to them, and then it's like, oh, okay. And they get down before she even takes off. So they're nice. Waiting for that wave.
Very cute.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, let's just take a couple of moments and talk about animals who are transitioning, leaving the body, and how you can help that process and how you see that process. I mean, I've heard holistic veterinarians say that they don't feel that animals fear death, but they do fear suffering. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I feel like that animals who are transitioning, if they have energy balance in their body, can zip out of their body a whole lot faster and easier, even with the medication. And we know that is euthanasia medication is fast. Mm-hmm. But even with that, it's like an easy transition for them. And, you know, telling them how much you love them beforehand. And we actually have a process in our euthanasia protocol where we have our people tell the through the balance technique that we use, tell their favorite stories about them while they're doing the energy work. And then because of that, it's a twofold process in my eyes. And the reason that I like to have the stories told is that the animals feel the love and the vibration from their voices, or feel the energy from their stories about the love that they have for them. And then it also helps the people to understand that they're always going to be in our hearts. Right.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's one of the things that we do. And then we do another technique during the process itself of euthanasia, where it works with the heart of the body and the expression of who that animal is. Mm-hmm. And with the balance that was created before, they just kind of zip out of the body. And it's like a no, it's not any kind of struggle.
Mm.
And I've witnessed several different euthanasias. My own cat, the cats, a couple of them have passed on their own, but with assisting, I have a veterinarian that has had me help her during euthanasia processes, and I have had clients, and with those home euthanasias especially, it's much more gentle, it seems.
Yes.
And even in the hospitals, it's also gentle because the veterinarians are being caring, right? Mm-hmm. And they're taking care of their beloved patients too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that it being there, if you're in the hospital, you're helping the veterinarians too, because they have to
absolutely
deal with all this processing of energy of the humans and themselves.
Right. Well, if you think about the animals, they're 10 times bigger than we are. Mm-hmm. So if you have a 30-pound animal lying on the table, it's 30 pounds of 10 times bigger energy field. Mm-hmm. And we're standing in that pool of love and their unconditional presence. And we're facilitating that much more energy to help keep them balanced as we are doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, yeah.
And have you noticed that different species respond? I mean, like, do all species kind of generally respond in similar ways, or are there differences? Like horses are more this, or dogs are more that, or cats are more this or not?
I find our domestic animals are really receptive, really receptive. And even our animals that you wouldn't think would be that receptive, like our big boa constrictors that are in the zoos or, you know, in homes that I've witnessed where, you know, the snakes are really love the energy work. With wild animals, it's a little different. It's like, don't invade my space. Mm-hmm. And until they recognize that you're A-okay.
That you've been invited.
Yeah.
You've been invited to connect.
Yeah. It's like our Native Americans watch our heart chakra to see if we're an okay person, right?
Right.
So they do that with our whole energy field.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So when we approach, we need to show love no matter what. Be smart if they're, you know, if there's danger, but
Excellent. Well, how can people get in touch with you and learn more of this process and tell us how that works?
Thank you. Well, Healing Touch for Animals is the name of my program, and it's www.healingtouchforanimals.com. And you can get a hold of us through the website. My office phone number is 303-470-6572. And I have people in my office that will help you. And if you need to get a hold of me, I am happy to talk to you. So,
great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. So,
thank you, Jeannie.
Parting words for our audience, last piece of advice. What would you like to offer them?
Just offer love to them. They'll love you back.
All right. Good advice.
Thank you, Jeannie. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. We'll have to talk to you again.
Okay, great.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to the Human Animal Connection Podcast. We will see you on the next one. We'll say aloha for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.